Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Mr. Benjamin Buck, a graduate assistant in the Public Liaison Office at BJU. The title of his message is Compassion Produces Action. The text is from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37.
Good morning. Just before I get started here, let me just tell you a little bit. You're going to have to know just a little bit about who I am. Not that I get a kick out of talking about myself. Okay, I do a little bit. But I grew up on a farm in Indiana. And as you know, farm boys, the stereotypical farmer is not much given to the mushy topics. As a matter of fact, when it comes to love and compassion, you're a pretty good chance to see a farm boy get up and walk out of a room. So if anybody gets up to leave, we know who the farmers are. But myself, as an individual, I guess, I am not given much to showing compassion and showing love. As a matter of fact, a lot of my friends were teasing me as I was getting ready. Well, they tease me often as, you know, planning to be in the ministry. And the old ladies who come up after church and wrap their arms around you and tell you how much they appreciate you and all the handshakes, I'm not given much to that. And that's something that I personally have to work on. I realize that. And today I want to talk to you on a subject of something that I have to work on. Compassion. Compassion. My junior year, a group of us here from the university went up to Washington, D.C. for what they call the Leadership Institute. And during this particular time, it was focus for radio, television, journalism. And students from all across the nation, from schools that are known as the leaders in Christian education, were represented there. I mean, some of the finest. Bob Jones, of course. Texas Christian University, Oral Roberts. Quite the eclectic group of people there, I guess. But we're there all excited about talking about leadership and the future of broadcast journalism. And the first day is basically just orientation, and then the rest of the evening's set free to go around and enjoy Washington, D.C. Now, it's nighttime and everything's closed, but if you've been to Washington, D.C., the sights themselves are enjoyable enough, I guess. So we hop on the metro, head into town, and as we get off the metro, there's about 15, 20 of us. We come up the stairs there out of the metro, and we turn and we look, and before us is this beautiful picture. If I had a camera, I could have won contests, I guess. I don't know. But there's this Washington Monument, white with the light shining on it, with the background, the night, dark sky. It's beautiful. And as we walked up, gazing at this Washington Monument, a few of us began talking about different, you know, various topics, whatever was on our mind. And a few of us looked off to the side, and there was a bum. This bum was deep into evidently a pretty deep conversation with himself. But anyways, he's in this deep conversation. As we walk by, some of us crack some jokes. And about time we get about 100 yards away from this guy, we realize that one of our friends has left us. And I turn around, and there's Darren, the guy that here from the university that had gone up with us. And Darren's knelt down beside this guy. And everybody kind of, there's some jokes that are made. What's Darren doing with a bum? And I said, just wait here, folks. It'll only take a second. Let me go get my friend and we'll be on our way. And I go back and I kneel down there with Darren. And I say, Darren, let's go. And Darren was, he was deep into a conversation with a man who could only talk to himself, but he said he couldn't go. I said, Darren, I'm not leaving you here alone in Washington, D.C. And he looked at me and he said, Benj, I'm not leaving this man alone without telling him about Jesus Christ. So he said, go on my way. And so I did. And I got back up with the group of these fine Christians and got to telling them what was going on. And some of them even cracked some jokes about why would he waste his time talking to a bum whose mind is half gone on drugs? You know, Jesus Christ tells a similar story in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we find the parable here of the Good Samaritan. No doubt many of us are very familiar with this story and how this man is walking on the Jericho road and he's met with some robbers there, some thieves, and he's beaten. And as a matter of fact, he's left for dead. And you know, the story goes on. Priest comes by, Levite comes by, goes by. They all pass by. They're on their own way. And here comes a Samaritan. And a Samaritan stops and he helps this guy. But if you look back in verse 25, you'll find here the setting for which Jesus tells this story. It tells us here in verse 25 that a certain lawyer asked this question. He says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, not only does Luke tell us and record for us the question that's asked, but he also does a pretty accurate job at telling us and letting us see the attitude of the one who's asking the question. Look there at the beginning of the verse. The certain lawyer, he stood up and he tempted him. Now, this lawyer is not looking for an answer here. But instead, he's looking for an opportunity, if he could, to take this good master and to back him into a corner and have a theological debate with him. Now, at any time, Jesus Christ, the great master, could have scolded him and gotten on him for trying to challenge him. But he didn't. He graciously entertained the question with another question. Look now in verse 26. Jesus Christ answers his question by asking, "Lawyer, what is written in the law? How readest thou?" He turns now the lawyer to the attention of that which he is supposed to be a guru in. And here the lawyer quickly and rapidly fires off his reply. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." And after having quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, he adds on to that a passage found in Leviticus, and he says, "And thy neighbor as thyself." And by quoting these two passages, this lawyer does a pretty good job at taking that which Jesus Christ at one time called the greatest commandments: to love the Lord thy God and to love thy neighbor. And then Jesus Christ turns to this man, he turns to the crowd and he says, "Thou hast answered right." And I want you to look at the next two words. He says, "This do." This do. It's not just enough to know that you're to love, because compassion produces action. And a true believer, when he has compassion, is pushed and can only have action. A true believer has compassion. After having this discussion now with the lawyer, Jesus Christ goes into a parable, and we'll begin reading this parable in verse 30. We see, a certain lawyer went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he passed at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to them, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now, after having told his parable, Jesus Christ now turns back. He looks back at the crowd, and I'm sure there's a bit of a pause and an uncomfortable silence as he's just now told the folks that a Samaritan has done the right thing. He's done what he knows to do. And this is uncomfortable to this crowd, because when they look at Samaritans, they see a dog. They see someone who is disgusting, who is filthy, that they look down on. But he asks the question now in verse 36. He says, which of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor? Which one of these three was their action? You see, Jesus Christ takes in this story, he takes a Samaritan. He takes someone that the Jews couldn't stand. And he takes that person and he lets that person be a representation or an illustration for what a true believer ought to be. A true believer is compassionate. A true believer is compassionate because he understands who he is. A true believer understands what he is made up of. He understands where he has been. You see, the priest and the Levite who were walking down that road, perhaps as they were walking, they were thinking of all the great deeds that they had done. Just performed a sacrifice there in Jerusalem. Now I'm going back home to Jericho to be with my wife. I fulfilled my obligation. Now it's time for a little relaxation. And here's the Levite who has pretty much the same frame of mind, evidently, because we see that he comes by and he moves on as well. But each of these three men, the Samaritan included, have something in common with this man who is in the ditch. They're all traveling on the same road. They're all walking down the same path. It could have been any one of those guys in the ditch. It could have been the Levite. It could have been the priest. It could have been the Samaritan. But it just so happened that it was this certain man who was lying there. You and I must understand something. You know, how about that guy that's in your prayer group? The guy who's just found out or who's still struggling with the separation of his mom and dad. Or how about the girl who has an abusive parent? Or the bum in the street, the thief in the jail. It's kind of tempting to look down our long noses at those guys, isn't it? It's kind of tempting to look at those guys and say, as the disciples did at one point, Father, what did they do to deserve that? It's tempting for us to think of ourselves deserving to be where we ought to be. But I tell you, and Scripture tells us, that it is not but by the grace of God. And you, as you are walking down your street, down your highway of life, and you see that person in the ditch, you must realize, but by the grace of God, that could be me. Because we're all, when you think about it, when all the cards are on the table, so to speak, we're all the same. You must realize who you are. You must realize that you have nothing that you deserve, especially as Christians. A true believer has compassion because he realizes who he is. But not only that, a true believer has compassion because he realizes who his Savior is. Notice the response here in our text that the lawyer is given. The lawyer was clearly trying to make Jesus look bad. He failed, but that was his attempt. Yet Jesus responded with compassion. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, men who wrote, and we have record of their understanding of Christ. Many of them knew Him. And as they record, they couldn't help but to record the compassion of Jesus Christ. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Mark 1, verses 40 and 41. And there came a leper to him, came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. We come now to Luke chapter 7, and here in a few verses 12 through 15, we read that there is this man who is dead and being carried away. He's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So this is the only family that this woman has. And as you can imagine, she was very sorrowful. There were many people around, and the verses go on. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and he that was dead sat up. Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. And perhaps the greatest illustration, the greatest example for you and me today of compassion is our Savior hanging there on Calvary. And as he hung there, after going through such great torment and the crowd shouting out, "Crucify him!" he cried out, "Father, forgive them." Now I wonder how many of those in the audience had saw Jesus heal a friend or reach out and touch a family member. I wonder how many of those who were yelling, "Crucify him!" were benefactors of his miracles. But yet, he had compassion for them. And even further, he hung there realizing that he had been rejected. He hung there realizing that he was still to be rejected even more. But because he had compassion, and as an example for you and me, he fulfilled his obligation. He fulfilled what the Father had sent him to do. Christ was compassionate. Perhaps you're familiar with the illustration of the father who went out and looked for his daughter's baby doll. He doesn't care about the baby doll. As far as he's concerned, it's ratty, it's trashy. It should go to the trash. And here's a baby doll that he's constantly putting the head and the arms back on. But his daughter loves the baby doll. And she can't find it. What's the father do? He spends time, and he graciously spends that time, not because he loves the doll, but because he loves his daughter who loves the doll. Likewise, a true believer, when he sees that man in the ditch, he's moved with compassion. First, because he realizes who he is, but even greater, because he realizes that Jesus Christ, his Savior, whom he is supposed to love with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because that Savior loved that man in the ditch. That Savior loves that man in the youth group who has problems of his own. That girl in your prayer group who nobody can stand. Jesus Christ had compassion. And if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you too would have compassion. A true believer has compassion. But you know, in Jesus Christ's parable, I have often wondered, what's the end of the story? Did this man in the ditch, did he make it? Jesus finishes this without finishing his story. Perhaps he did that because it really doesn't matter to you and me as believers. His point is not the result, because that is not our concern. Our concern is we're to take action and leave the results in the hands of God. My friend there in Washington, D.C., Darren, as far as I know, the man he talked to never accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Be that as it may, Darren was still an example of a true believer who had compassion. The true believer is not necessarily concerned so much with the results as he is with his responsibility. See, the compassion that a true believer is to have produces action. Compassion produces action. And after telling the parable, Jesus exhorted the lawyer and the audience that was standing there. In verse 37, he says, "Go and do thou likewise." Are there signs in your life of compassion? Perhaps this morning you need to look at verse 37 in light of the parable that preceded it and take some heed to the words of God here and the words of Jesus Christ who said, "Go and do thou likewise." Our Father, we thank You that You've given for us an example. We thank You, Lord, that You've shown Your compassion to us and for loving the unlovely. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us, even, Lord, when we're unfaithful to You. Lord, I pray that You will stir in the hearts of each of us today a desire to love, a desire to have compassion for those around us. Lord, for no other reason than because of Your compassion. We thank You now, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to study Your Word. Pray now that You'll guide us and protect us throughout the rest of the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Benjamin Buck, a graduate assistant in the Public Liaison Office at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.